Oh, his name is worthy to be blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can honestly say I rarely think of it in the course of a service. And I appreciate what our men do with on the tech side of things, because every service we have those listening across the nation, across the world. And as a church, I think it's wonderful to think that beyond our service tonight, God is speaking and touching and working. Amen. I'd like for you to turn with me tonight to Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. I want to look at just something Jesus said and leave a challenge, in particular on this Sunday before we relaunch our outreach for the year in Sidewalk Sunday School. I'm going to keep my promise. I've promised you through the years, if you'll bear with the length of the sermon on Sunday morning, I will shorten it considerably, noticeably on Sunday night. I want to be a man of my word. But I really want to say something to all of us, from our children on up through the congregation tonight. I want to talk to us. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Verse 13, Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth," or in Oki, "y'all are the salt of the earth." It's plural. What I want is to see there, ye means everyone, every one of you, all of you. "But if the salt have lost his savor," or if the salt has lost its saltiness, "wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing." You know, Jesus really said it. I don't suppose it would be a popular sermon, but he just said some that claim to be Christians are good for nothing if they've lost their saltiness. "It's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." In other words, you know, salt is kind of similar to sand. And if salt, in appearance it is, but if it has lost its saltiness, it's worth no more than the sand that we just walk on. It's worthless. I want to preach with this thought tonight from Jesus' words, "When salt is salty." When salt is salty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for a hunger for your word and truth. And I pray that you challenge our hearts tonight to be what you have planned on our being, what you have designed us to be, the very result of the work that you've done in our hearts, that we would be that tonight. Lord, help us to believe with all of our hearts that we can make a difference in the world that we live in, whether work or school or neighborhood. Lord, the work that you've done in us can be infectious and make a difference in people's eternity. Anoint me, O God, to speak tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Last night, right before I went to sleep, I was reading an interview with a Muslim American that got saved recently. He's become somewhat of an intellectual, I suppose. I don't know if I'll have his name right. But Nabil Quraysm, and he has gotten saved because he finally met, listen to this, he finally met someone who he said not only said they were a Christian, but really had something different. That's what he said. And the interviewer asked this question: "You grew up in a loving American Muslim home. How did your childhood compare with your Christian friends?" And it's his answer that really was convicting to me last night. Here's what he said: "Honestly, almost all of my Christian friends seemed to be Christian in name only. They went to church, they said they were Christian, but that was about it. Most of them were never able to answer my questions about Christianity. And whereas I, as a Muslim, I was taught the details about my faith and how to defend it, but they couldn't even tell me what they believed. He said, I felt that I was truly Muslim in my identity. In other words, I knew who I was, whereas most of my Christian friends did not really embody. This really got me. My Christian friends did not embody their faith. You know what he said, in other words? The salt wasn't salty. That's what he said. Now, thank the Lord, he met a Christian named David. And he said David was so passionate about his faith that when I asked him what he believed, he told me what he believed. And he said, not only did he tell me what he believed, but he lived it. The salt had saltiness. You know, I looked it up before I preached tonight, and I was within 2 percentage points. But did you know a recent Gallup poll says that 77% of Americans claim to be Christian? Look, I don't want to sound critical, but it can't be. It can't be when we're accepting homosexual marriage and deviant lifestyles and the things that America, and look at the polls now, even in Ohio, over 50% accepting things that the Bible condemns, and then to say 77% of Americans are Christian, it just can't be. How many would agree with me tonight? The salt has lost its saltiness. The salt has lost its saltiness. And you know, that's a bad thing, Jesus said. Jesus said the thing that should mark the followers, and there's no age limit to this. If you know enough to accept Christ as Savior from a child on up, there's no age. Jesus said the thing that should mark his followers is that in this world in which they live, they are salt. Salt. How many wants to have saltiness? I want to just explore 3 quick questions. First of all, what makes salt salty? What makes salt salty? Don't you think that's a fair question? And I'm not going to get into the science of this. We'll leave that to Brother Bill. And so I'm going to answer very simplistic. The saltiness of salt is its difference from other things. Think about that. It's a particular chemical compound, sodium chloride. And the thing that makes salt salty is it's different. Its properties are different. Jesus said, if salt isn't salty, it's no more valuable than sand. But the thing that makes it salty and different, or it makes it salty, is that it's different from sand. Tonight after church, you may already plan on doing this, but what if you went home and fried up those French fries and put them on your plate, reached over for the salt shaker and started dumping the white crystals on it? You took a bite of French fry, it didn't taste quite right, and so you wet your finger and got some of the little white crystals on it and put it to your tongue, and there was no taste to it. What would you do? Well, number one, you've ruined your French fries, but what would you do? You'd take the lid off the salt shaker and you'd empty it out. For all practical purposes, you might have just should put sand on your French fries. It made as much difference if the salt doesn't have saltiness. The thing that makes salt salty is that it is different. And again, I'm being redundant, but salt is the same as sand if it's not salty. Or maybe I should put it this way. If salt is the same as sand, it won't be salty. And how is it that Christians have saltiness? It's because we're different. We think different. We feel different. We have different values. We have different desires. We have different worldviews. We have different attitudes. We have a different nature. We have different values. And here's the thing, you can apply it however, but when a Christian becomes the same as the world, they have lost their saltiness. When you think the same thoughts, you have the same values, you have the same motives, you have the same desires, you're no different from the world, and therefore you have no saltiness. if there's no discernible difference between us and the world, we can have no discernible effect upon the world. How many believes that? Amen. It's our difference. Look, if we have nothing different to offer in this church than what they're offering in the clubs or offering with the sports or offering with the thing, we have nothing to help anybody. Well, I believe there is a difference. Hallelujah. You say, well, I don't want to be different from the world. I want to fit in. If you're not different from the world, you have no saltiness and you cannot make a difference. Second question. What makes salt not salty? And again, I don't want to insult you with simplicity, but I want to share two things I believe that make salt not salty. I told you that salt is a chemical compound, and I understand that it's one of the most stable compounds that exist in nature. In other words, it's very, very difficult to change the composition of salt. It's a stable compound. But there's one way it can lose, one of the ways it can lose its saltiness is, since it's so hard to change the compound, the way it loses saltiness is to dilute it, to add things to it. Or let me put it this way, to contaminate it. If you get enough foreign particles in the compound, you break it down. As stable as it is, as distinct as salt compound is, if you introduce enough foreign properties, foreign bodies, it will dilute and break down salt until it loses its saltiness. How does the salt lose its saltiness? By corruption. By the introduction to the salt of things that should not be in salt. We lose our saltiness when either we allow what we believe in to be diluted or we allow our lives to be corrupted. There are things Christians shouldn't talk about. There are things Christians should allow in their eyes. There are attitudes a Christian shouldn't have. There are things of this world that a Christian should not partake of. And when we begin to partake of these things that are of the world, we are corrupting our minds and our hearts and our attitudes. And what that does, it contaminates the salt, and the contamination takes away the saltiness. Young person, and I'm not picking on you, but a young person, if you go to a public school and you live no differently than the rest of those at public school, and you tell the same jokes and you listen to the same music and you watch the same movies and you have the same attitudes, you'll never have an impact or an effect on those around you. You know why? You cannot have saltiness when you're allowing the corruption of the world to break down the compound of what God has done in your life. And I'm not going to tell the story tonight, but it took me a while to get this. But my junior year, I got it. And I prayed through and said, God, I'll be different. And I carried my Bible to a public school. And I want to tell you one of the things that happened. Revival broke out in a public school, and several of them started to get saved. I'm telling you why. Because it was in the difference, the refusal to be contaminated, that the saltiness was there. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. When we are of the same property of this world, we cannot have saltiness. And why I'm on adding, introducing foreign things, could I tell you the other way to break down saltiness, salt, and take away its salt, is to dilute. And I don't know how you feel. I think I know how you feel. That was just rhetorical. But listen, I don't think we can dilute this message and this word one little bit, amen, and have a saltiness. It's not I think, or maybe, or my church believes, or my parents believe, or we used to believe. It's thus saith the word of God. I'll tell you how we're salty. We stand without equivocation, without apology, and say Jesus is the only way, the only true, and there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We don't back away from that. We don't compromise that. It's non-negotiable. Amen. Jesus is the only way. And we dilute that. We take that away. We have lost our saltiness. But there's another way that salt can lose its saltiness. Well, it doesn't really lose it, but it loses it for all practical purposes. You know, you can have the saltiest of salt in your shaker, but as long as it's in the shaker for all practical purposes, it's not salty. Amen. And I want to tell you, God never intended for the salt to stay in the shaker. If you can use your imagination, amen, in a sense, when we're in church tonight, we're salt in the shaker. Right? God never intended. He intended when we leave this place, it's Monday morning. He intends for this shaker of the church to be turned upside down, Sister Brock, and shaken out at school, and shaken out at work, shaken out in the neighborhood. Hallelujah. Shaken out in the conversations. Amen. Shaken out in the Facebook post. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, salt needs to come out of the shaker. Amen. In all of those places, the attitude is, I won't be a part of this world. Amen. Amen. But I will be salt in this world. You know, some folks are real concerned, and rightfully so. They say, you know, I'm not going to get out much in this world. I'll keep to myself. I'll keep my mouth shut. I won't say anything about what I believe. And you know, it is true. We don't want to be corrupted, but sanctification and being holy is not withdrawal or isolation. It's being different. And when we're different, we'll keep our saltiness, and therefore we can be in the world and have an effect upon it. Amen. Amen. Salt can be in the world and still be salty. But the world can't be in salt and it still be salty. Right? I said salt can be in the world, but the world can't be in the salt. I mean, I believe God wants to help us tonight. Amen. I know, and I'm not trying to be critical, but so much has been allowed into the Christian mindset, Christian heart, Christian worldview. We're no different from the world, and we have no saltiness. And then on the other hand, we have those that keep the salt in the shaker and say, you can't ever talk to someone of the world. You can't have anything to do with that. I mean, that's not the way it is. Be different. Be uncorrupted. And if you are, then you can come out of the salt shaker and you can be in the world and influence and a power and have an effect. Amen. I said amen. And as I was thinking on this and praying about it, I thought, you know, we Christians, and I don't mean this as critical, just as a challenge, we're living a time that those that really have a heart for the truth, we go around and we talk about, isn't our government corrupt? Aren't the people at work corrupt? Aren't the kids at school, aren't they infidels? I mean, the world's corrupt, and it is. Isn't Hollywood corrupt? It is. Surprise, surprise. In the political world corrupt? And we go around saying, isn't the world corrupt? That's the church. Isn't the world corrupt? You know, I think it's time the world start going around and saying, that church, they're sure salty. That individual right there, they're sure salty. Amen. They got something we don't have. There's something different about, instead of the world, us talking about the corruption of the world, I think it's time the world talk about the saltiness of the church. Hallelujah. And so I want to end with this last question. How do you know your salty salt? How do you know your salty salt? And I may surprise you. I want to give you quickly four or five things, probably four. And it may surprise you. But number one, just mark it down. Mark it down. This is true. You can know your salty salt. Number one, you know you're salty when you're different from the world around you. You say, I just don't think like my friends at school. Hallelujah. I just don't like the music they like. Hallelujah. You know what you just said? You said, I'm salty. Amen. I said, you know you're salty when you're different from the world around you. And I've already preached that. I'm not going to re-preach it. Number two, you know you're salty when you make God look good to the world around you. You know you're salty when you make God look good. A lot of people have a sorry taste in their mouth over religion and churches and Christians. But you know you're salty when people look at your life and say, there must be something to this God. When people can look at your life and say, that God is powerful and loving and caring and kind. You know, You know, Rush Limbaugh, I hear him every once in a while. One of his favorite things he says on Friday, that's Open Line Friday, for you ones that aren't Rush Limbaugh fans. And he says it other times, but he said, you know what? Your job as an audience is to make me, the host, look good. Think about that. But you know what really our job is? Now, God doesn't need help. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, instead of making God look bad through people's perception of us, our job as believers is to make God look good. You know you're salty when people look at you and God looks good to them. Wouldn't you like to live that kind of life instead of living a life of saying you're a Christian, but when people and unbelievers look at you, they say there's nothing to that. God don't look good to them. You know you're salty when you make God look good to the world around you. How do you know you're salty? You know you're salty when you sting by your life the world around you. What are you talking about? Well, this time of year makes me think. I mean, it was a big thing when I was a kid in Oklahoma. And that was watermelon. When the watermelon started turning ripe, 50 cents a watermelon. Season wore on, you get two for 50 cents. I mean, nice watermelons. Grown in the sandy bottoms of the Canadian River. I mean, oh, they were. And it was a big thing. I mean, we'd get together. And we wouldn't play video games or watch a movie. We'd, hey, we got a cold watermelon. Won't you come over? But you know, being a kid playing all day, I'd many times have cuts and things on my hands. And I'd forget about those cuts as I dug in. But I'm one of those that, you know, watermelon and cantaloupe taste good when you soak them down with salt. Yeah. Yeah. And I had forgot all about those sores. But when I dug in there with all that salt on the melon, it started stinging. I'm not talking about having a bad attitude or a holier-than-thou attitude or a self-righteous, but I'm telling you, if you're really salty when you're in this world, it stings them. That's why they'll get jealous. That's why they'll attack you. Because the difference in your life convicts them for the way they're living. Look, I'm not talking about being ugly spirited, but I'm saying if we're really salty, the world won't feel comfortable in camaraderie with us. Amen. And that's the trouble in America. The sting has been taken out of this thing because the saltiness is gone. In fact, the church is promoting the same sins as the world is promoting. You say they won't like it. Again, I'm not talking about being ugly spirited, but if we got some salt to this thing, it's going to really burn this world. They're not going to like it. You know you're salty when the world fails to like what you do. Jesus said a lot of wonderful things. You know that? John 15:19. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Look, I didn't say it, but if the world gets along with you, it's because you're just like they are. If you're different, if you're salty, the world won't like you. Did I read that correctly? If you were of the world will love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know you're salty when the world fails to like what you do. You mean you go to church three times a week? How could you stand to do that? The world won't like it. I don't know how you feel, but I don't want this salt to lose its saltiness. Would you come, music? I want to put a disclaimer on what I'm about to say. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm none of those things. If the doctors told you you're on a low-sodium diet, you're not to have salt on your eggs or watermelon or whatever, listen to your doctor. Don't listen to what I say. But I have read several reports lately that they have made salt such a sin. You know how it is? It's like, oh, it's evil to the medical. You eat salt on your food? They've made it such a sin and restricted people so much from salt that now people are starting to physically suffer from the lack of salt. Well, if you read history, you knew it was going to happen, because all over our world there was malnutrition and lack of growth and everything in areas where people couldn't get to the sea and get salt in the history of development. And so now, realizing now they have so been against salt that humans are now suffering because they're lacking salt. Because you see, forget all of the abuses and the health problems. The point of it is, human needs salt. I'm not trying to be oversimplistic, but isn't it true? Humans need salt. And I want to tell you what this world needs more than anything is salt. It needs the salt to be salty. There's a lot of corruption. It's sickening. A lot of infectious sin that's infecting people's hearts and minds and lives and homes and marriages. It's sickening. What the corruption needs is salt. What the infection needs is salt. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'll tell you, the real saltiness we have is when we let Jesus be Jesus in us. Hallelujah. Would you stand across the building? I want you to just reflect. This is between you and the Lord. I just want you to ask yourself, have I lost my saltiness? Am I salty? Do I have that right effect upon the world? Hallelujah. 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 I've been down there on those southern beaches, Mississippi, Florida. Some of that sand is as white as salt, but it's not salt because it doesn't have the saltiness. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to open these altars right now across this building. And if you say, I want to be salty, would you fill these altars and say, God, I want to be salty. I want to be salty. I want to have an effect upon my world. I want to make a difference where I'm at. And hear the words that have been preached tonight. We lose our saltiness when we become like that which is around us. We become corrupted by the world around us. When we let the message of what we believe be diluted, we lose our saltiness. Lord, I want to be salty. I want to be salty, Lord. Hallelujah. Are you salty? Oh, you're salty. The salty's in the difference. The difference in your life. The difference in the way you think. The difference in what you do. Hallelujah. Oh, the difference that Jesus makes. Oh, let's pray tonight, church. It's His will that we be salty. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. Oh, I want to be good for something, good for the kingdom, good for my friends, good for my neighbors. Oh, I want to be salty.